independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
We will establish the facts, separate from rampant speculation, and lay them out for the American people to make their own judgment. Only then will we as a nation be able to put this episode to rest and look to the future.
Senate Intel Chair Burr, not Aaron or Raymond, which would be awesome if both of them showed up. But Sessions had a session today, to say the least. Conservatives are excited about Tom Cotton and the way he handled himself. I don't know if you heard any of the Tom Cotton. We'll get some of it a little bit later as they wrapped it up. But he went on one of those tirades of like, have you ever, you know, and all I could think of was the movie Airplane. Have you ever seen a grown man naked, Jeff Sessions? Have you ever seen Gladiator movies, Jeff? He asked him, do you like Jason Bourne movies? It was interesting for a little bit. Let me tell you, it was a little bit more. Comey last week, I felt, was a lot more professional. There wasn't a lot to it. Both sides were somewhat respectable. I think some of this was back and forth. And we saw some sparks. We saw some anger. We saw a little fiery Jeff Sessions there. Cantankerous man is what he is. Stay off my yard. That's Jeff. Stay off my yard. Your music's too loud, you kids. And no one didn't talk to the Russians. Commie bastards. That would have been awesome. They did ask him things about, like this, Mr. Burr.
Why did you decide to recuse yourself from the government's Russia investigation? And fourth, what role, if any, did you play in the removal of then FBI Director Comey?
I received only the limited information that the department's career officials determined was necessary for me to form and make a recusal decision. As such, I have no knowledge about this investigation.
He's got no knowledge about the investigation. Cursing them, dang commies! You know who we are! Did we find out anything new? No, we did not. Was there anything that was crazy that popped out? He did say, look, I'm not going to discuss certain things when it comes to the Donald, right? Not that the Donald instructed him in any way, shape, or form, but he took it amongst himself. To say, look, you know what? That's between the old Donald and I, and we'll deal with it in-house, right? Like, those are our conversations, private conversations right there. Private conversations. That's what they were. A lot of it was about who'd you meet? Would you meet? Who'd 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 you meet? Did you meet somebody? Who'd you meet? Who'd you meet? Who'd you meet?
Did you have any meetings with Russian officials or their proxies on behalf of the Trump campaign or during your time as Attorney General? Two, what was your involvement with candidate Trump's foreign policy team and what were their possible interactions with Russians?
Who'd you meet? Who'd you meet? Who'd you meet? Who'd you meet? Who'd you meet?
I did not have any private meetings, nor do I recall any conversations with any Russian officials at the Mayflower Hotel. I did not attend any meetings at that event.
So we got a Watergate and a Mayflower. Notice how they're not Trump hotels. Like, you would think that would be it's like, no, did not meet anybody. Because I'm here listening to my music and relaxing, smoking my pipe on my porch. People are going to be like, you're so mean to Jeff Sessions. It's just the whole, is there not better things to do? Really, the senators, is there not better things to do? How many months have we been at this now? That's one thing. Tom Cotton kind of went off on, you know, we've been at this thing for 11 months, 6 months we've been investigating it, you know, all this crap's been going on, and then nobody up here thinks there's been any kind of abuse of or obstruction of justice or any of that stuff. So we're just curious, right? We're just curious. We got a bunch of senators up here from the Democratic side. Not one of them could show us any point where there was collusion or obstruction of justice, yet here we are months later. Looking, we've gone down rabbit hole after rabbit hole, continuing to look. And if you want to make some crazy 6 degrees of separation, he know, I know, you know, or you could probably do it if you want to in your mind. But I'm just curious, was there not better things for our senators to be doing? I'm just, you know, that's me, right? That's me. I want to know. One of the other things is he definitely did not want to talk about the president and him having some private conversations.
I cannot and will not violate my duty to protect the confidential communications I have with the president.
He said duty.
He said duty. Duty.
Oh, goodness me.
And, of course, the Comey thing, right? Comey, 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 Comey. Comey chameleon. That was that. That's the big, like, the Comey thing. You know, Comey this, Comey that. Did you fire him? What'd you know? Who'd you talk to? Blah, 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 blah.
Senator Warner, we had talked about it even before I was confirmed and before he was confirmed. It's something that we both agreed to, that a fresh start at the FBI was probably the best thing.
I confirm that as well. We all confirm. You confirm, Phil? We're confirmed there? You're confirmed? Fantastic. Yeah, Phil's confirmed. Anthony confirmed. We're all confirmed. We've confirmed. We've talked. We have... We've all got around. We sat Indian style, and we had a chat, and we've decided that we confirmed that we need a fresh start, right? That's such an NFL sports thing to do, right? Like, isn't that? Well, you know, we thank him for all that he's done. We thank him for the opportunities that he led our team to. But in truth, we felt that it was time that we go in a fresh direction, and we need a fresh start here at the FBI. We wish him all the best in his future endeavors. And that's just – that's. Like, they hand you that when you have to go out to the media, and you could just cross out FBI and write NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL. That's all. It's all the same. It really, really is the same. But once again, it was about what? It was about the firing over and over again.
Senator Warner, we had talked about it even before I was confirmed and before he was confirmed. It's something that we both agreed to, that a fresh start at the FBI was probably the best thing.
Is it fresh? Is it fresh? I don't know if it's fresh. Feels a little fresh. Smells a little fresher at the FBI now. I watched this today. I'll be honest. I went and worked out, as I tend to do during the day, and I got about 20 minutes into my workout, 15 minutes into my workout, and I'm like, I am over this. And I flipped over to the ESPN because the place I work at has all these TVs, and I wanted to watch stuff about last night's basketball game. In fact, that's one of the Twitter questions I have. I mean, who had a better day or better night? Was it the Golden State Warriors winning their championship, second in 3 years, going 16-1 in the playoffs, or Jeff Sessions today, who I thought equated himself pretty – he handled himself pretty damn good. He really did. He handled himself pretty good. There was a few contentious moments, you know. Martin Henrik accused Sessions of obstructing the Russian investigation.
There are two investigations here. There is a special counsel investigation. There is also a congressional investigation. And you are obstructing that congressional investigation by not answering these questions.
And then there was, how should we say this? An angry, spirited Jeff Sessions, who definitely went, your music's too loud, stay off my lawn.
There are none, Senator Wyden. There are none. I can tell you that for absolute certainty. This is a secret innuendo being leaked out there about me, and I don't appreciate it.
They are none. So, I mean, it was much ado about nothing, right? Much ado about nothing. There's one of those things somebody's going to go, it's a do. So did you get anything out of it? I doubt most of you did. I mean, I thought he did a good job. He handled himself very well. We didn't learn anything more. You knew that there was going to be some times when he said, look, that's a privilege between the president and I, and I have the right to say that that's a private conversation that I will not. They were going to accuse him, the people on the left. There was going to be some grandstandings and the Carl Harris of the world who were going to grandstand. King of the world, they wanted to make it, hey, I'm going to grill. But we didn't get anything out of it. Nothing came. There was I got you moment. There was none of that. There was no I got you moments in any of this. It was pretty basic. Sessions had his day in court, not as big as Comey's, and it's not court, but, you know, the court of public opinion. You've made up your mind or you haven't made up your mind. I thought he did pretty good. I think the Warriors did a little bit better. I mean, they beat the King. They beat LeBron, right? You beat LeBron. You beat Irving, Kyrie, right? Kevin Love. But you got, you know, three Hall of Famers on your team. So I think they had a better night. But that's just me. Text the program 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. Also call us if you like. We don't do much calls, but you can if you feel the need. You want to pick up. You want to say, let me tell you something about the Sessions thing. It was brilliant. It was awesome. Or, God, what a waste of time that was. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. People are probably like, he's not taking this seriously. Like, no, I'm not. Let it run. Let it just see its way out, for God's sakes. Just over the whole thing. We got bigger fish to fry. We got things going on. Speaking of that, it is Father's Day a few days from now. You know, ladies, guys like getting flowers, too. I'm just throwing it out there. Guys, we tend to forget. We all know that. But guys, we like getting flowers, too, right? People are like, ooh, who's that? Yeah, exactly. Huh? Well, we do forget important dates. Not just men, but women. Luckily, Pro Flowers just launched a brand new Pro Gifter service. It is amazing. Easiest, best, foolproof way to look amazing all year long. Pro Gifter service allows you to schedule 3 bouquet deliveries, same or different addresses, throughout the year. So you can have 3 bouquet deliveries, right? 3 different addresses, different times throughout the year. Holy guacamole. You look like a superstar. Happy birthday, Mom. Happy anniversary, wife, right? Happy birthday, wife. I'm telling you, it's a win right there. It absolutely is. This is why Pro Gifter is amazing. You get 3 bouquets with vases, free shipping, all for $99. You're going to save time. You're going to save money, up to $70 in savings. Pro Flowers buys directly from the best growers. 7-day freshness guarantee, 7-point quality check, so you know they're going to look amazing. Oh, yes. And the beauty of the Pro Gifter service, and you're thinking of some flowers right now you should be sending in these dates, is once you set it up, you're done. That's the beauty of it. Go to proflowers.com, look for the Pro Gifter banner right on the homepage, pick your flowers, set the delivery dates, and boom, you're done. Proflowers.com, look for the Pro Gifter banner, the Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow, Chad Benson Show.
Serving up talk radio medium rare and dripping with irony, it's Chad Benson.
And so to do that as a group, call us a super team. Andre Iguodala with 20 off the bench. They call us a super team, but there's been a lot of super teams that hasn't worked. And we came together and we continue to just believe in each other and we sacrificed and we champs now.
Kevin Durant last night, they won. Man, almost went 16-0, 5 games. Pretty much rolled through the playoffs like a hot knife going through soft butter. They were a super team. Kevin Durant, one of the best players in the world, arguably the best player in the world, goes to arguably the best team in the world, and they mesh immediately, and lo and behold, they won. Frustrating for people in Oklahoma City, I'm sure, pissed off to see him go away. It's the business of sports. You go where you think you can win, and you can't always blame the player because a lot of times you look around and you say, what is this organization doing to make us better? Why LeBron left, that's why some... It's not just about the money. People chase the rings. They get the money elsewhere now. Sometimes it's about, like, are you trying to make my team better? Or have you screwed this up so bad that we can't get out of this nasty salary cap situation and I'm going to have to languish here by myself taking, like, Westbrook. Poor Westbrook in Oklahoma. He is. He's sitting around there. You know, he's got to take on the entire league by himself. Speaking of legacy, LeBron last night... Triple-double he averaged, and, you know, he got nothing to put his head down for.
I left everything on the floor every game, all 5 games. So for me personally, I have nothing to be – I have no reason to put my head down. I have no reason to look back at what I could have done or what I shouldn't have done or what I could have done better for the team.
Yeah, I thought he played – you know, he's LeBron James. He's the best player in the world. If you're going to start your team, you start with LeBron James, and then you go from there. You do. You do. And I thought that, though, I thought as great as Golden State was, they were just a little bit better than Jeff Sessions today on the Hill. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, each and every single day, we here at the Chad Benson Show like to make you hipper and cooler on the streets. We give you these words, right, to add to your repertoire, to grow your street vernacular, therefore making you cooler amongst the youth of America. We call this the urban word of the day.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
All right, your urban word of the day comes from Anthony, who is becoming this. It's a furderer. That's a person who murders their phone because they're pissed off at the electronic world that they live in. Anthony got a new phone, an Android phone that's curved. It is annoying him, so he became a furderer by killing his phone. And I don't blame him. We've all been there. How many of us have been there where we wanted to throw our phone or pissed off at electronics and we want to murder the phone? Well, if you do that, you're a furderer and you'll be sentenced to 2 hours of standing in whatever place that you have your contract with, getting a new phone that you hope works better, and that costs you money. But that's part of the crime and the time you have to do when you become a furderer. That's your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
People text in. You can always do that. 323-538-2423. It's not fair that Durant left and went. Here's the thing. It's a business decision. Sports, any of this stuff, it's all business. You may hate it, but it's business. And if you feel you need to get something done and you can't do it where you're at, we don't get mad at somebody who goes across the street, right? Like goes from Google to Facebook. We don't get pissed off at that. But we do because sports can be emotional, right? Sports can be emotional. And because there's that emotion, what happens? People tense up. They get angry. Boom, lo and behold, you're mad at the world because somebody skipped across the street and you know, took their talents to Golden State or South Beach. I mean, it's great. Yeah, you want them to stay there and win, but it's not always on them. And that's in everything in life, kids. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat@chatbensonshow.com. Text the program, as always, 323-538-2423. We got an issue in America. And it's wait till you hear this little phrase they call it. It's crazy. Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The House has passed a bill, and now the Senate is working very, very hard with a bill that's going to be a phenomenal bill for the people of our country.
Phenomenal. Greatest bill ever invented. So amazing. You guys have, it's actually going to be written in gold with angel tears. It's the greatest bill ever. And they'll name it greatest bill ever. We're voting on it today. So far, every bill that's ever been passed by me is the greatest bill ever. I am currently the greatest person ever born. Yesterday, I have to be honest, if you didn't see the round the table craziness with Trump, it was, they were falling over themselves to talk about the greatness. And that was a little uncomfortable, if you will. And speaking of the bill, he could sit there and say, hey, this is going to be the greatest bill of all time. It's going to be the most amazing thing of all time. What else is it going to be?
I'm going to come out with a real bill, not Obamacare. Generous, kind, with heart. That's what I'm saying. And the results are going to be fantastic, and hopefully it'll be announced at the appropriate time, and everyone's going to be happy.
Generous, kind, and with heart. There is nothing. There's nothing. Senate is doing, first of all, they're too busy grandstanding and showboating, you know, having these high-profile hearings to be sorting out the things they should be sorting out, is we need a health care bill. We do.
Well, Chad, those aren't the people that are going to be directly involved.
Yes, you know what? I understand that, and some of them will be, but let's be 100% honest. It's not getting done, right? All hands on deck at this point in time. Healthcare is not getting done.
You sound like such a pessimist.
I'm honest. You want that? That's why you listen. I don't think they're going to get anything done that's going to be worth a damn. Oh, they may get something done, right? But it may resemble something seriously close to what we have right now. And the last time I checked, and Mr. President was out there today in Wisconsin talking about that there Obamacare.
These are sad but familiar stories in Wisconsin, where Obamacare premiums have doubled. Obamacare is one of the greatest catastrophes that our country has signed into law.
No, it's one of the greatest catastrophes. But it's something, that's for sure. And let's be real, the growth of the healthcare world, the dollar bills that are being thrown at it, the stress of families to combat the rising cost it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. You know, Arizona was held up at that, you know, hey, look at what's happening in Arizona. It's 100%, 120% rise in premiums. It ain't like that anymore.
They started out paying $600 per month. Then their insurer quit the exchange, so they had to switch to a new plan, and it went up to $1,000 a month, and it keeps going up and up and up, and that's where we are today.
Arizona is no longer a one-off. Several states are seeing premiums rise through the roof. Arizona's starting to look like the Midland as far as the rise. And it's stressful. People want to keep it, though, because it's a fear factor. Better the devil you do than the devil you don't. And so they look around. And they're like, oh, my God, the Republicans are going to screw this up. They're going to take this away. It's going to be this. They're in bed with the healthcare companies. Oh. All the while, the Democrats are sitting back there. You know one thing the president said today in his another roundtable meeting? I'm surprised it's like not the Knights of the Roundtable and everybody needs to bring in a sword. One thing that he did say that I found to be extremely true is, at least from my standpoint at this moment in time, he says, I could pass the we could come up with the greatest legislation, the greatest bill in the history of the world that would be absolutely fantastic, the best bill for the American people. Everybody would have health care. It would be the greatest thing. We could all have access to health care. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And it would, and on top of that, it would lower taxes. It would be incredible. And not one Democrat would vote for it. Of course not. Remember, we look at this as what are you doing to work hard at making our lives a little bit easier because you tend to screw things up. But what are you guys doing that's the betterment for the American people on a daily basis? They look at it as, this is my job. If the other team does better, you're going to choose their product of politics over my product of politics, and I will no longer have a job. So you don't, there's nothing invested in the other team doing well. Last night, Golden State beat Cleveland. Season over. Golden State is the champions. There you go, right? One team won. That's the way they look at it. They don't look at it as that we're here for the betterment of the American people, and that's a problem. That's a problem. I think if you put everybody in there, you get one shot. You get 6 years, then you're done. Boom, period. You can't run again. You'd find out that people are willing to do more when they know they don't have to run again. And they can put people that they're supposed to be representing. And remember, well, each one of them represents a certain constituency that they're from. In the end, they represent the American people. Because what one congressman or senator does from Oklahoma or from Cedar Rapids or from San Francisco will have effects that ripple throughout the country. But there's no way they want to be invested in the Republicans coming up with a better idea. No way. Just like the Republicans wanted the Obamacare to fail. Because in the end, if they come up with the best idea, in the end, if they come up with something that solves the problem, guess what? People are going to go, you solved the problem. I'm going to use you next time. Speaking of problems in America, poverty. Poverty is, well, it's everywhere. But it's not as bad as you think. It's still, though, in the country that we live in, with the amount of wealth that we have, and the fact that yesterday we talked about that we are nutritionally overachieving, we are the people of size in a lot of ways, because of the obesity levels, not only here, but also in the West in general. But there's still 13.1 million people, here it is, that are food insecure, meaning their household does not have the kind of food, or they lack access to enough food for an active, healthy life for all household members. So they're food insecure, which when I had my taco today, I asked it again, are you insecure? And it said, no. And then I ate it, and it was delicious. But in saying that, we throw away a lot of food. But when I read this, and this is going to be a big thing that's on Sunday night with Dr. Sanjay Gupta. And so some things on here, you can feel bad for people. You can have some empathy. I never want to see a child starve. Ever, 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 ever do I want to see a child starve. You don't want to see anybody starve. But when you see kids, and I've been there as a child, grew up very poor. There was times when we only had popsicles for dinner. My mom worked her ass off to get us out of a lot of that stuff and through that nightmare. With the help of my grandmother and my mom, she did. It was amazing. That's where I got my work ethic from. My personality from my dad, my work ethic from my mom. But I will tell you this, there was choices, right? And some of these stories they bring out here, they've got a 23-year-old, a 24-year-old who are married. They have a 7-year-old, meaning 16 and 17, they had a child. They live inside of a small room at a hotel, and they now have an infant. To me, poor choices. That's poor choices. My son, the man, the myth, he was born 7 years ago today. Happy birthday, Jack. We'll talk about that later. I was almost 40. I had accomplished a decent amount. My son lacks for nothing in this world. A lot of the people they talk about are people that have had some hard times, but a lot of those hard times are based on their poor choices they make in life. No child should ever go without. But also, there should be some, hey, you shouldn't bring another child into a situation you know you can't afford. You can barely afford yourselves, let alone child one. Now you've got child two. But for all of the desperation and scariness, here's something that you don't think about. Maybe the biggest development in the world. Poverty levels? Low. Extreme poverty levels. Extreme poverty levels have been declining. In fact, there is a world poverty clock, which is kind of addictive to watch because little people are running away from poverty. Get ready for this. There's about 9% of the world that lives in extreme poverty. But virtually every second of the day, somebody's escaping poverty. And that's amazing. That is absolutely incredible. Why is that? More economic opportunity, right? The expansion of a global economy is incredible. We've also, because of the fact that we have scientific breakthroughs and, you know, a lot of these other scientifically modified crazy foods, guess what? The Franken foods do feed a lot of people, whether people want to believe that or not. There's a lot of things that go into it. But this is huge. And it's been falling rather quickly, according to the UN and several other large organizations. But here in America, we shouldn't have poverty. But again, some of that is choices. Some of that is choices. And to get people out of poverty, what do you need to do really? It's not giving them food. It's about giving them the thing that's going to help them escape the circle they're in, which is the knowledge and then eventually opportunities to get themselves out of the situation they're in. Because if you hand them food today, you're going to have to hand them food tomorrow. But if you give them the knowledge and you help them with that, they'll be able to eventually take that hand up and start walking on their own and escape. And then they can do a circle that is different than poverty, which is their knowledge onto others that helps them and so on and so forth. Food insecure. So weird. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You could text the program. Love when you do. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. 75 years ago today, Chad Benson Show.
Giving the First Amendment a run for its money. This is the Chad Benson Show.
I think the best thing to do is to let Robert Mueller do his job. I think the best vindication for the president is to let this investigation go on independently and thoroughly. That, to me, is the smartest thing to do, the best thing to do, and that's what I think hopefully will happen.
That's what Paul Ryan thinks, and I think it's the best thing to do as well. Little smatterings yesterday that they should get rid of Bob Mueller, and how do you do something like that? And, oh, my goodness, and can the president just go and do it? No, he can't. He needs the AG to do something like that. Obviously, the AG, Jeff Sessions, today in the spotlight, being grilled, by the senators at a hearing. But he recused himself. Now, he did that so voluntarily, he could come back at any moment. But right now, the acting AG, when it comes to this scenario, is Rod Rosenstein. I wonder how he feels about this.
Special Counsel Mueller may be fired only for good cause, and I am required to put that cause in writing. And so that's what I would do. If there were a good cause, I would consider it. If there were not good cause, it wouldn't matter to me what anybody says.
There you go. So there's that. So this whole thought process that can I do this? No. And I don't think he's going to fire him and Sessions and everybody else and put somebody in place that's going to stop this investigation because that's just silly. I mean, that right there, it makes people think even more. And then you start getting people who want to see you succeed start to question the temperament and, there's a lot of people out there. It's not even about whether or not you did something because I don't think anybody out there of right mind who isn't insane and partisan who thinks you've done this, right? Doesn't mean, though, that people don't question temperament and move. I may not believe you didn't do this, but I can question some of the motives and the actions that make me wonder. There you go. 75 years ago yesterday, a young girl in Amsterdam by the name of Anne got a diary. Today, she entered her first of what would become one of the biggest selling, most read books in the world. Anne Frank's diary would have been 75, along with her as, she'd been 83 or 88 today. It's so interesting. This, how far we've come. I've been to the Anne Frank house. I was young. I knew who she was. And for a lot of kids, even now, the relevance of this book, because for a lot of young kids, it's the first kind of introduction into the Holocaust, the Gestapo, the Nazis, the concentration camps, and all of that stuff. And it's very fascinating. The whole thing's fascinating. It really is. If your kids haven't read it, you've got young kids, you know what? I say it's something you should read. It is. And by the way, so he's explaining, Otto Frank, her dad, had a lot more control over the diaries. They decided he held back some of the diary because she was a young girl. She was a young teenage girl. Young teenage girls, no matter where they are in the world, aren't always the sweetest, kindest things in the world. They were cramped in a small space with 8 people living there. And she didn't always have nice things to say about her living situation and the people with her. And she was not a huge fan of her mom. So loved her dad to death, not a big fan of her mom. So they held that some of that stuff back. But I just think it shows you a glimpse into a lot of what was going on. The day-to-day, think about being cramped somewhere. And then, next thing you know, the Gestapo comes, takes you away, and you die, not very long after. But it is a interesting thing. And when we look at all the kids nowadays, I was telling them, there is no way now you can hide somewhere for that long if you have any access to anything. Because you'll be tweeting. Like Anne Frank, when had a diary, she'd had a Twitter account. Right? And we were like, wow, did you guys read Anne Frank's Twitter? Oh, goodness me. Her Instagram? But if you've never read it, I take some time and read it. It is an interesting book and an interesting life to something that should not be forgot. And it didn't really do well after it came out. And it took a couple very prominent journalists who wrote about it that re-energized it. So people, they didn't want to remember right after the war, but then they did, and I think it's a good thing. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Your Twitter, ChadBenson. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.